Welcome to the Vintage Church Podcast. Vintage Church is a movement of truth, love, and community. For more information, visit VintageChurchNola.com. Here is this week's message.
Good morning, Vintage. So good to see you guys this morning. If I have not met you yet, my name is Matthew Weaver, and I serve as one of the pastors here. And I am so excited today to have the opportunity to continue our All the Feels series. Last week, if you guys were here, you know, we looked at the topic of joy, right? Of joy. And this summer, we're walking through a series looking at the eight sort of basic human emotions that we all deal with, we all face. And so last week, Pastor Dustin kicked us off looking at joy. And if you look on the screen real quick, we've got our emotions wheel. We're going to show this every week just to remind you guys what these emotions are. And if you look at these emotions, there's other emotions that branch off because of them. Today, we're looking at fear. We're going to look at fear. I don't know about you, but fear is something that I struggle with. Fear is real, right? Fear is a real emotion that we really deal with, sometimes on a daily basis. And because of fear, we even struggle with things like anxiety or insecurity. A lot of negative emotions. So today, I've been kind of challenged with the emotion of fear. And I think Pastor Dustin chose that because he knows that I'm kind of naturally a fearful person. So as Robert just prayed a minute ago, as I was preparing for this, God was working on my heart so much. And so today, as I preach, as I try to encourage and inspire you, I am preaching to myself just as much because I need this. I need this. And so fear today is where we're going to be heading. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 91, okay? If you don't, our Connect team is coming down. Lift your hand up. We'd love to give you a copy of the Word of God. Take this this gift home as a gift from us to you and let God's Word transform your life. Before we dive into Psalm 91, I want to kind of lay a foundation for us real quick. So I don't know about you, but when I think about fear, there's kind of two categories that I think of. This is just me personally. The first category is a moment of fear. Having like a moment of fear where the fear comes out of nowhere and maybe you're dealing with something and out of nowhere you just become fearful. You didn't plan it, right? It's not like you wanted to be fearful, but there's some things in our lives that we know that if we go near these things, we're gonna get scared, we're gonna get fearful. And these are moments of fear, and I'm just gonna read a few that you might struggle with. I know I struggle with some of these, but these are things that kind of across the board, we might kind of go into a moment of fear because of them. The fear of heights. Being up high and not and looking down and saying, oh my gosh, I hope I don't fall, right? The fear of heights, or maybe it's germs or taking a test. I know for me, I'm not a big test taker. I don't enjoy taking tests. I'd rather write a paper. Call me crazy, but that's just me, okay? I don't like having to memorize stuff and then that pressure on the spot. Or maybe it's getting on an airplane. I don't mind flying, but I hate landing. Last time I flew into Atlanta to see my family, I'm glad you guys didn't see me as we were landing the plane. I was like holding on to the things like, oh my gosh, Lord, help me, please. It was a bumpy ride. So landing, maybe getting on a plane, maybe traveling or sort of leaving your comfort zone, going to a place you've never been. Maybe it's spiders, all right? Maybe it's a snake, and worst of all, a roach. None of us like roaches, right? Especially in New Orleans. Roaches. Or it could be many other things like going to the doctor or getting a checkup, whatever it is. Like these are just simple things in life that we come across and that we begin to become fearful because of them. And that's a moment of fear. And if we're not careful, those moments will turn into a state of fear. And that's kind of the next category is a state of fear, where the fear is not just a moment, it's literally consuming you. Like it is taking you over and you cannot help but to be fearful, a state of fear. Some things in life that are really serious and really hard that we might fear, like losing our job, losing a loved one, sickness, our health, finances and paying the bills, watching our kids grow up and kind of learning to let them go as they get older, right? To be independent and sort of releasing them. Maybe it's the fear of loneliness, being alone. Being by yourself, the unknown of the future, letting go of your past, your reputation, what people think about you, this world around us. This world is crazy. Things are happening every week. What's your fear today? Think about it. And I want you to think about your fear as we walk through this text today And my prayer is that the Lord would help you overcome your fear. Would help you overcome your fear. Before we read Psalm 91, here's kind of the direction that we're going to be going this morning. The main idea today is that we must choose faith over fear. For those of us that know Jesus, for those of us that have a personal relationship with Jesus, we must choose faith over fear. And not faith in ourselves, not faith in something we can see, but faith in who God is. Faith in who Jesus is in and through us. Faith over fear. Let's read Psalm 91 together. What I'm going to do is read the entire chapter, and then we're going to go and kind of break it down and work through it and pull out some application. Psalm 91. It's going to be on the screen as well, starting in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your hand, but it will not come near. You only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will rescue him, and I will honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The word of God. I love that psalm. And I love that we're going through the book of Psalms this summer, because it meets us where we are, right? The book of Psalms is such a real book full of emotions. And I don't know about you, but every now and then I need to open God's word and be able to fully relate to what I'm reading, right? That's just refreshing every now and then. And the book of Psalms meets us where we are in our current state. One author says this about the book of Psalms. He says, there's a shared humanness in the book of Psalms. It appeals to the strongest and the weakest of us. It takes hold of us where we are in our personal troubles, in our corporate crisis, when our joy is inexpressible and our pain is utterable. That's what the book of Psalms does. And so as we look at this psalm, I want to lay some context really quick. We don't really know who wrote this psalm. It could be David. It could be someone within the nation of Israel, which it most likely was, right? God's chosen people, Israel at this time. Whoever wrote this psalm, as they wrote it, they're coming out of fear. They've gone through a season of fear. They've gone through a struggle, and they've seen God be faithful. And they've depended on God and trusted in God, and now they're looking back and seeing the other side of their problem and praising God. And they've walked through some fear, right? They've walked through some life. And through their walking, they've trusted in God, and now they're reflecting on what God has done. So whether it was one person or whether this is the whole nation of Israel, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's a person that follows God, has walked through fear, and has conquered fear. And so today as we read this psalm, we're going to reflect on what the psalmist says, and we're going to answer this question. Can we replace fear with faith? Some of you guys are listening, and you're like, yeah, that's a no-brainer, right? I choose faith over fear. And I think we can sort of think that way and think that's so simple, but when it comes down to actually believing it, it's a whole nother story. When it comes down to living it out, it's a whole nother story. So today, I want to help us answer the question, can we replace fear with faith? The answer is yes, and I want to give us a few reasons why. Why we can replace fear with faith and pull out some application as well. The first thing is that the Lord is our security. We can replace fear with faith because the Lord, God, is our security. Verses 1 and 2 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." So when you look at this, you see imagery of security. You see these pictures and this imagery of the psalmist laying out who God is, how God is our security. First off, it says that he's our shelter. He hides us from danger. He's our shadow. His shadow is all around us of his presence, right? He surrounds us. He's in front of us, behind us, around us. His presence goes before us. He's our refuge. If you guys remember a while back, we did a series called Refuge. We looked at one of the Psalms and we looked at why God is our refuge. We all had a brick. You guys remember that? Those of you that were here, we sent you off. We gave you a brick. We said, don't forget this, right? God is your refuge. Let this brick remind you that God can handle it. He's strong. And then he's also our fortress. God protects us from attack. And I love how the psalmist refers to God. He says, God is almighty. And that word almighty is only used one other time in the whole book of Psalms. And what that word refers to is God is powerful. God is strong. God can handle it. He's big. He's majestic. He's almighty. And because of that, the psalmist says, he's my God in whom I trust. In whom I trust. Don't forget that. Don't miss that. That as we trust him, as we trust in his security, right? As we lean into his security, we must trust him. We must lean into God. We have to put action into it as well and believe that God is surrounding us. He's protecting us. We must trust his security. When I think about security, the first thing I think about is like security systems in our homes. If some of you own a home, maybe you've put a security system in place. And what does that security system do? It's supposed to protect you, right? And it's kind of like a safeguard around your house. You've got a code, you've got a key, and only you know it. And if anybody else gets in and the security system's on, sirens go off, right? I think about here at the church, we have a security system. We have a security system, and only a few of us know the code. So don't try to break in, okay? It's not going to work. But there's been times where someone has gotten in somehow, let the security system on, and the sirens have gone off. And Pastor Britt calls me, "Hey, Weaver, can you head over to the church and check on things?" I only live right down the street, so I'm always the guy that comes and checks on it most of the time. I walk in, I'm like freaking out. What's going on? The lights are off. This church is a little bit scary at night, okay? I'm not going to lie. I walk in, and it's nothing. Like, somebody messed up. The cops are here, though. But, I mean, we needed to know that, though. Like, we needed to know that we could be safe. Or maybe you lock your doors. I hope you lock your doors. To your cars, to your apartments, to your houses, your dorm room, whatever it is. And we do these things, and these things are good. And we should do these things. We should put security in place. But it doesn't mean all the time that nothing is ever going to happen, right? It doesn't 100% ensure that nothing is ever going to happen. I don't say that to scare you. I just say it to be realistic. Because as Christians, God is going to allow certain things to happen in our lives that are hard. But God's in control and he has a purpose for it. But he surrounds us with his security. When we struggle, when we're fearful, we can lean into his security. God is with us. The second thing, the Lord is also our deliverer. The Lord is our deliverer. Verses 3 through 6, or 3 through 8. If you look at verses 3 through 6, the psalmist gives us some things that God delivers us from. God delivers us from the snare of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence, the terror of night, the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness, the destruction that wastes at noonday. Just imagery of all these things. And what this imagery is referring to is attacks from the enemy. Attacks from the enemy. Temptations from the world around us. The enemy is coming after us. If we know God, if we have a relationship with Jesus, we've got a target on our back. Satan's coming after us. But praise God that we're not stuck. He is our deliverer. He delivers us from these things. And even when we're struggling, if you read 7-8, we struggle, but we don't experience this evil world completely like the world does because we're protected. I mean, if you look around the world and look at all the tragedy, look at what the fall of man, the results of that, and just corruption and people that are just rebelling against God, they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Don't forget that. A lot of these things that happen are results of the fall in this broken world. And yes, we see it, right? The psalmist says you're only going to see it with your eyes. You're going to see it, and it's devastating, and it should break your heart. But you are, in a sense, protected from being a part of that completely. You put your hope in something else. You put your hope in what you can't see, but what you know to be true, in God. God is our deliverer. Praise God, he doesn't leave us. We must trust his deliverance, guys. Trust his deliverance. And I want you to know this. There's always a way out. There's always a way out. Today, you might have walked in. You're in chains. You're in bondage. Whatever your fear is, you feel stuck. You feel defeated. You feel like you're way down in the pit and you can't get out. You're literally, you don't know what to do, right? And your fear is taking you captive and it's overcome every part of who you are. And you've walked in today and this is for you today. This is for all of us. But if you're stuck in fear today, you need to know that there is a way out. You're not stuck. There is hope in Jesus Christ. God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you. To be beaten and scourged, right? And to bleed and to die on our behalf. And not just to die, but to rise again. And to take your fears that you're struggling with right now and put them on his back and say, I've got this. God can handle your fears. You are not stuck. There is a way out. And today you need to claim that and give those fears to God and trust in his deliverance. He will deliver you. He will deliver you. Today, if you don't know Jesus in just a few minutes, if you're here today and you're like, I don't know where to go. I don't know God. I'm just here because somebody dragged me in the door. I don't know about this Jesus thing. I'm literally just here. What's going on? And today, you're fearful. You don't have a way out because you don't have Jesus on your side. All you have is you. And newsflash, for all of us, we're not meant to carry our fears on our own. It's actually impossible. It's against our DNA. We're little bitty human beings and we need a higher power, Jesus Christ, who died for us, who loves you and fearfully and wonderfully made you. He wants to take your fears. So today, if you don't know Jesus, in just a few minutes, I'm going to give you the chance to respond to the gospel. Give your life to Christ. Give him your fears. When I think about this deliverance, I think about a song. There's a song on the radio, if you listen to Christian radio, it's hit or miss, right? But some songs are not too bad. There's a song out there called Fear is a Liar. It's a great song. And it's by an artist named Zach Williams. And he wrote this song, and he's talking about how we fill our minds with all these lies, and we believe all these lies about who Satan says we are, and we need to fill our minds with truth. I want to read a few verses from the song. Here's what he says. Listen carefully. He says, when he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you that you're not worthy, when he told you that you're not loved, when he told you that you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough, when he told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone, when he told you you should run away and you'll never find a home, when he told you you were dirty and he told you that you should be ashamed, when he told you you could be the one that grace will never change. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest. He will steal your happiness. So cast your fear to the fire, because fear is a liar. Jesus, let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall. Your love is all I feel. As I read some of these statements, some of you might be thinking, wow, that's me. I've given in to these lies. And I think we all do from time to time. We all have these moments where we think that we're inadequate, we're insecure, we're not worthy, we can't do it, we're not important. But God says otherwise, right? And we have to learn how to distinguish the lies from the truth. If you believe everything that hits your head, you're doomed. But if you know the truth from the lies, you can handle it. But you've got to study the Word of God and know God and seek God and pursue God and know His heart and draw near to Him. And then you can have the discernment and the wisdom, and the Holy Spirit will help you discern the truth from the lies. The truth from the lies. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will provide the way out of escape that you may be able to endure it. God will never put you in a situation that you can't get out of. You're never stuck. He'll provide the way out. And I just want to challenge us. We have to be proactive. Here at Vintage, we do several things to try to facilitate that. On the screen, you'll see a few things that pop up. V groups, life groups. These are things that we encourage you guys to be a part of. Because this is great right now, and I hope this is encouraging you. But when you leave, you're by yourself. You need a circle of community throughout the week to lean into and to do life with in community and give your fears. Share your fears with others. Maybe you need to go see counseling. And we encourage that. We know this is a very intense thing. And if you need counseling, I strongly encourage it. Don't be ashamed of that. Take that step. We can help you with that as well, okay? Trust in His deliverance, guys. Be proactive. The third thing is that the Lord is our dwelling place. The Lord is our dwelling place. Verses 9 through 13. I'm not going to read all of that, but if you look at verse 9, the psalmist says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Don't miss that. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. And because of that, verses 10 through 12, no evil will overtake you. No plague will come near your tent. And that's referring to, in this time period, you guys know that Israel was in captivity from Egypt, right? And God sent the plagues, right, to Pharaoh in Egypt as punishment. But Israel did not experience the plagues. They just saw what happened. God protected those that loved Him. He protected them, protected their homes. His angels will guard you. That comes from Matthew chapter 4. If you read in Matthew chapter 4 about the temptations of Jesus, when Satan took Jesus to the cliff and he said, hey, bow down to me. Jesus said, no. And this is actually a verse that Satan kind of misinterpreted, twisted to tempt Jesus. But we know the truth is that angels, even the presence of God and His angels, watch over us. But guys, the key here is that because we dwell in Him, His presence is near. God is always here. Don't miss that. He's omnipresent. He's physically here, spiritually here. But there's something special and unique and powerful about making God your dwelling place and leaning into God, because you've put in the work of that relationship, right? God is your dwelling place. You must trust His presence. Trust His presence. When I think about dwelling place, when I think about sort of that language, the first thing I thought of is kind of what we do, what we sort of put in our own language is maybe our happy place. This, maybe you don't say the word happy place, that's fine. But what I mean by happy place is somewhere that you go, someplace in your house, a place of escape that you set up and you sit and you kind of meditate and you rest and you get filled up, and it's like your escape. All your distractions are gone. Maybe it's the beach or the lake or the mountains. Maybe it's a certain chair in your house. Maybe it's your back porch. You guys are wondering what the heck is going on here. I'm going to go and tell you. This is part of my happy place. Judge me all you want. I know the laughs are coming. So this is part of my happy place. When I got married, April of 2017, oh, I almost got that wrong. My wife's right there. April of 2017, my best man asked me, what do you want as a wedding gift? I'm a pretty simple guy. Like, I don't want a ton of stuff. I just want a couple camping chairs, man. Pretty simple. I mean, go to Walmart, whatever you got to do. Just a camping chair. And so, literally, you guys can see this is not your average camping chair. This is like a glorified camping chair, lazy boy style. And this is what he got me. He got me two of these. I'm going to sit in it for a minute. And you'll notice that when you sit in it, you can lean back. You've got the armrest. You've got the cup holder here. You've got another department here. Put your phone in it. Whatever you want to do. And I'm not going to do this, but you kick it back and these legs come up. And you literally just chill like this. It's amazing, okay? It is extremely comfortable. And it's turned into some of our main furniture in our apartment. Like, what was intended to be a chair to bring camping or to the beach or whatever has turned into, like, this is in our living room. And it's also in a corner of our apartment. I've got this little corner, and I call it my happy place, right? I've got this chair here. The chair is good. I've got to have the chair, but there's more. You can see on the screen behind what I have in this corner, okay? There you go. So I got a few places I've been to, like, so overseas places, mission trips. I've got some hobbies that I like to do, outdoors, stuff like that. The Georgia Bulldogs, I'm from Georgia. I'm a dogs fan. There you go. So, there you go. Thank you. A few other things. I've got a lamp, and I can put my books there and my music and just sort of chill, right? That's my little happy place. And I sit there and I chill and I rest, and it's amazing. And it all started with a simple chair, right? It wasn't complicated. It wasn't really extravagant. It was just a chair. Without the chair, there's not much to it. I don't want to sit on the ground, but I need a chair, right? I need a strong foundation. I need to begin with something to sit on and lean into. When I think of making God our dwelling place, the first thing I think of is, number one, give your life to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you can't put your dwelling place in God. You can't. You can't live for Jesus without Jesus, right? You can't pretend to know God and not really know him. But when you give your life to God and you have the foundation of Jesus Christ walking with you, it doesn't even stop there. It doesn't stop with the foundation. That's the beginning. You keep seeking God, right? You keep going after God. You keep reading the word. You keep memorizing scripture. You keep surrounding yourself with community. You pray. You do all these things, not because you have to, because you want to. And as you add on these things to your spiritual journey, your dwelling place becomes so much more rich and powerful and meaningful. And that's what I think of here. Just like I did with my own space, spiritually, we must keep adding, keep seeking, and keep trusting the Lord and cultivating in our life, making him our dwelling place, right? Making him our dwelling place. Trust his presence. Make God your dwelling place. And lastly, and I love this because it's so true and so powerful. We can choose faith over fear because the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Verses 14 through 16, I actually want us to read this together out loud, together, because it's so powerful. It's going to be on the screen behind me, verses 14 through 16. Let's read it. Starting in 14, he says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. And when you read that, you notice that that's not the psalmist anymore. Who is that? That's the Lord. That's the Lord speaking back over us. speaking over the psalmist, speaking of his faithfulness, speaking of who he is and how much he loves us and how much he desires for us to give our fears to him. The Lord is faithful, guys. If you have seen the faithfulness of God in your life, just nod your head. If you've seen any amount of God's faithfulness, we've got bobbleheads all over the room. I love it. God has been faithful, right? And it's hard to see that sometimes. It really is. I think about my own life and times where I've been kind of stuck in the pit or fearful or questioning God. Why God? Why me? Why this? And usually I look back on something God has done in the past and I begin to get it. Like, I've already had this moment before, God. And you were faithful during that moment. And you've brought me here. You've opened this door. You've kind of moved me this direction. That's a work of you leading me and guiding me. You are faithful, even when I'm not. I've seen God be faithful in my life, even the past 5 years, in such a powerful way. I cannot imagine the scenarios, the story, the situation I'm in today. I could not have told you it would be like this 5 years ago. There's no way. God's exceeded my expectations. He's been faithful to me. Look at Vintage Church. God's been faithful to us. Just look around and look at what the Lord is doing and how God is working in and through us. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the people. God's always been faithful, and he will be faithful. God is so faithful. Trust his faithfulness. Trust his faithfulness. You know why God is so faithful ultimately? Because he sent his son Jesus for us to stand in our place, to die on our behalf. That's the ultimate expression of God's faithfulness, God's provision. Jesus is faithful. We used to say this quote a lot. Reflective praise inspires future perseverance. Reflective praise inspires future perseverance. And what that means is every now and then, more often than not, we need to reflect on what God has done, be inspired by that, and move forward with that motivation, with that confidence that what God has done before, he will do again. If we ever forget that, we're in trouble, we're in fear. If we don't forget that, and we cultivate that in our lives and discipline ourselves to always remember that, we can conquer any fear that comes our way. But the moment we forget that, that's when the enemy comes in, guys. He's coming in. He knows your fears. He knows what you struggle with. He's personally going to come in. But if you claim that over your life, the victory is yours through God. Don't forget that. We're going to wrap up in a second. Today we've talked about why we can replace fear with faith. The first thing is that the Lord is our security. The Lord is our deliverer. The Lord is our dwelling place, and the Lord is faithful to us. Because of that, we must trust in those things. Trust. And trust and faith are very similar, guys. Trust it. Don't just believe it with your mind and your heart. Live it out. Live it out holistically. Trust it in who God is. On your seat, everybody should have all the feel sheet. Grab that real quick, okay? Pastor Dustin said last week, we're giving you homework all summer. We're doing summer school here at Vintage, okay? We've got a few questions we want you to take home and read, reflect on, and process this week. And I've just got four questions for you. Take these home and let the Lord work on your heart all week and just go to God with these things. Number one, what are some fears you're struggling with? Just write them down. Take it home, write them down. What's the source of your fears? So where are your fears coming from? What's the motivation? What's going on in your life that's causing you to fear? What's the backstory there? Expose it. Put it out there. The third question, who do you have in your life that can help you with your fears? Share your fears with that person, with your community. Get in your V group this week and have a time of sharing fears and close out in prayer. Get in your life group this week and do that. If you don't have those things, get it this week. Take that step. We're here for you. The church loves you. And lastly, who do you know in your life that's struggling with fear? Go and share your faith with them. Share how God's been faithful. I love that, guys, because it's not just about us, right? It's about all of us. It's about all of us together, carrying the weight together. You don't have to go along. And if you missed anything this morning, I don't want you to forget this simple truth that you don't have to fear. You don't. Put that in your minds and your hearts right now. You don't have to fear. You can choose faith over fear and allow Jesus to work in and through you and give it to him. Today, give it to him. Give it to him. Let's pray together. Jesus, we're so thankful. And we're so thankful for who you are. We don't deserve this gift. God, we don't deserve the gift of faith, the gift of trust, the gift of your Holy Spirit, your presence. But God, the whole time you knew that we needed it. God, we're not designed in a way that's meant to carry our fears on our own. We're not that strong. We're weak. And we are in desperate need of you. And so today, if fears are overcoming us today, in this room right now, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would deliver us from our fears. That we would walk out of this room today abandoned to you, surrendering to you, and laying our fears before you. God, we're tired of living in fear. God, we need people to rise up in faith and show this world that there's another way. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.